Hello, Aries, and welcome to your 2015 solar return. That's birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, the astrologer who loves you and who's here to tell you about some stuff, man, in the planets that is going on. And let's see. Well, I organize these readings in three sections. Sometimes I slip in an extra one, but basically three gets it done. I should be going on for about 30 to 40 minutes in this and then in the next as well. And then in the third section, I cover astrology afterthoughts, and then I read your tarot cards. In this first section, well, my overall scheme plan here is to go from the general to the specific, to start with the basic conditions as I see them, and then to focus some, let's say, special topics. This year's astrology for you has had two very distinct features. There's stuff that's been going on for a while that you have likely heard about. Uranus-Pluto square being one, a lot of planets in Pisces. That's a special place in your chart. It's your 12th house. And all those planets in Pisces are telling a story that I'm going to convey to you very soon. But the thing that is distinctive about 2015 for Aries solar returns actually begins on the last day of Pisces. It begins when the sun was about half a degree away from equinox, from entering your sign, and there was a total eclipse of the sun on the line between Pisces and Aries. And like a lot of new moons of recent months, this was a pretty extraordinary thing, all the more so for being a total eclipse of the sun. It corresponded in some ways to a total eclipse of the sun that occurred in Leo in 1999. I don't believe it was part of the same what's called Saros cycle, but it did streak across Europe, and it was therefore visible from Europe, and there were even resonances of these two events in the news. Eclipses, kind of proof of their own astrological properties, because the new moon never gets in the news, but eclipses almost always get in the news. And this one got quite a bit of attention because it was visible from so many places in the Western world, and connections were made to 1999, and I had noticed that, and mentioned it. And I would just mention that now, that there is likely to be some connection between this year and 1999. Seems like, well, is it long ago or just yesterday, in that strange way that time has been distorting? It's easy to think of it either as a moment ago, or it seems like forever ago, when at least when I think of what my life was like in 1999. I had just started Planet Waves, and it's like, wow, that does seem like the dawn of time in a lot of ways. And this eclipse resonates with that, and I would leave that for you to consider. Might come back to it. Astrologically, what that eclipse in the last degree of Pisces slipping into Aries, as the sun is still, and Earth are still vibrating with that eclipse, seems like a bridge between the invisible world and the visible world, a bridge between the dream time and the manifest world. There's a lot of this going on in your life. In some ways, Aries is such a kind of down-to-earth, what you see is what you get, I'm going to get in your face and love it kind of a sign. And with so much happening in Pisces, especially an eclipse in Pisces on the day before the sun reached your sign, with the sun at equinox, basically, you know, 12 hours before it reached Aries. That equinox is not just a one-day thing. It's a kind of a balancing point that spreads out over several days and kind of spreads a message around the world. And it's interesting that, you know, Aries is considered as such an assertive, you know, pushy and, you know, real kind of sign. And yet, you know, it begins at the equinox. I mean, there is a an underlying concept of balance to Aries. And what this eclipse seems to have done is open up a kind of a pressure valve between the hidden world, the unseen world, what some call the dream time, and the seemingly ordinary world. And so whatever else may be happening in your life, whatever change, progress, excitement, strangeness, innovation, self-reinvention, a bold experiment of some kind, behind that, it's as if there is this opening up of a vast dimension that you may not have always had direct access to. It's a little like those dreams that seems like almost everyone's had, this dream where you're in a familiar space like your apartment or your home or a place that you used to live, and there's a door, and you open the door, and suddenly there's this whole new expanse of interior space. When I have those dreams, they feel really good. They feel to me like something really is opening up in my unconscious, is inviting me to step into that space and explore, enjoy, occupy that space. And to me, that's what this eclipse represented, that over the years, there have been a steadily gathering collection of planets in the sign right before your sign, Pisces. And that calls attention in a way to this interior space. The sign before one's own sign is the house of dreams, no matter what sign it is. And you're in Aries, and you have Pisces as the sign before your sign. So that house of dreams property is quite thriving in the lives of those with Aries charts, Aries rising, Aries sun. And so adding things to there doesn't clutter the space. Rather, it opens the space up. It's like a stretch. It's like Pisces will expand to accommodate the, you know, the contents of the universe. And so one by one, Chiron arrived and Neptune arrived and Nessus, another centaur planet, arrived. This thing called Borsisi was there, a very Piscean kind of a planet because it's all about belief. All these planets had gathered in your sign going back quite a few years. And then there's this eclipse in the 30th degree of the zodiac, the degree right before Aries. And to me, what that's saying is, hey, turn around, look behind you, and see this enormous space and all of its contents. All of this, what you might think of as kind of etheric material. It's as if, it's almost like someone who slept many, many nights and, you know, grew up into adult, never had a single dream. Then suddenly you have a dream. Or someone who never meditated and suddenly they, for the first time, meditate and feel their interior space. Now, clearly you have done those things. You've dreamed, you've meditated, you've probably experimented with a few other things that, you know, could be construed as spiritual things. And we all thrive on Pisces in this world. There's a whole bunch of us on this planet who couldn't stand it here without music and color and beauty and critters and all those things that make Pisces what it is. Only now, with this not-so-ordinary eclipse, a total solar eclipse, it's as if the universe put its hand on your shoulder and said, turn around and face the part of your consciousness that you don't normally face into, that you don't normally allow into full perception. And you did, and recognized that there is so much more to you. So I would say that this kind of consciousness has been dawning on you for a while, because you've been getting these hints. You know, as these planets arrive, they all arrive with the message that there is so much more to you, that you contain so much more than you imagined, and that your imagination can contain anything. That, you know, there's a kind of a vastness to you. And if that vastness, which is in part creative content and impulse and energy, and is in part erotic impulse and in part spiritual, all kind of fused into one thing, one kind of plasma. And it's building and growing and expanding and becoming. If you don't acknowledge it, there you can live with a lot of pressure. It might lead you to drink or use consciousness-altering chemicals excessively, or smoke, you know, cannabis a lot or something to kind of let off that pressure. But if you acknowledge the creativity that you contain and the passion and the impulse to express beauty, it can feel like a lot of pressure coming off. And so what this eclipse has done is it has given you a doorway into all those spaces in yourself that it's not always so easy to acknowledge and express and exist with. And so many of the obligations and responsibilities of the world kind of point us the other way and say, don't pay attention to that, that ineffable, kind of unspeakable beauty and softness. You know, isn't really of this world. It's of the divine, infinite consciousness that we then bring into this world. It's as if it's on another plane of reality, and through the actions and choices and strength of humanity, of your humanity, you can bring whatever that is in. Today, by the way, the sun is exactly conjunct Uranus, and it's just a couple of days after the second eclipse. Eclipses usually come in pairs, sometimes in threes. This time, a pair of total eclipses. Total eclipse of the sun on 3/20, total eclipse of the moon on 4/4. And so we have just passed through that kind of tension point of this eclipse pair and the second eclipse, the one in Libra, your opposite sign. So also something extraordinarily personal. It's as if the Pisces eclipse was a event that brought you closer into relationship with yourself, with the deeper, often concealed, often inaccessible dimension of yourself. And the Libra eclipse on Saturday morning, a few days ago, gave you a glimpse behind the scenes, not only of a relationship, which probably did pretty boldly, but your whole tendency to be in relationships, your whole concept of relationship, and the energy pattern that your relationships often follow. So there was a similar equalization of pressure between who you are and who you are in your relationships and what your relationships and partners are to you. And that is a kind of amazing combination, because what it's suggesting is that on some level, very close to the foundation of consciousness, you have shifted in your, not only your relationship to yourself, but that your entire concept of who you are has kind of expanded radically into this whole other thing, and that your concept of what a relationship is, of what you, how you relate to others, and moreover, why you relate to them, and the space that the relationship occupies and that you occupy, also has had a dimension shift. And this may have felt like a veil pulled back. It may have felt like gazing in to the deep underneath, almost into the foundations of all of your relationships. And what is interesting about the structure of this eclipse is that the lunar eclipse on Saturday is that it too had, to me anyway, a characteristic of revealing that what was below the surface, what is below the surface of your relationships, is again your relationship to yourself. And this may have been a little frightening, it may have been unsettling, it may have been challenging in some way, because often our concept of relationship is about how oriented we are on the other. And to me, what this eclipse said is that there is no relationship to the other without one's relationship to oneself, and that your relationship to yourself is really the central element, and that every other relationship is an outgrowth of that. And the beauty of this pair of eclipses, the elegance of the way that they combined in particular, is that you got the glimpse of how much there is in you for you to relate to, as if you were introduced to a whole other self to be in relationship to. And then you were shown the necessity, the beauty, the urgency, the clear image, some kind of three-dimensional image of how it is that, yeah, that relationship to yourself is the one that means you actually have a self with which to relate to other people. So this is all kind of spiritual, isn't it? And the other, a lot of infinite number of cool things about these charts that you got working here, because it's just a lot of fire in these charts and passion. That Venus and Mars, Well, let's roll back 1 second. Speaking of fire and passion, because the day that this reading manifested, and I don't really schedule these readings. It's like a day comes up where a clear space opens, and I am able to do the work in a space where there is actually space to work and not be pressured in any way. Is the day of the Sun Uranus conjunction. And so there is this very powerful symbol in the charts of self reinvention. Sun conjunct Uranus in Aries. Holy shit. But this self reinvention follows, it comes on the heels of, it comes subsequent to these two eclipses, which in very different ways say and illustrate and insinuate and blatantly show you the same thing. Only now, today, on the 6th of April, you're getting it in rockin' Aries style, as in go for it. Now, the beauty of this go for it message is that there is a lot of current behind you. It's not just the wind that's pushing you. It's not just some surface layer phenomenon. That underneath that wind, there is a powerful current moving your life. And so if you feel like you are being propelled energetically, that's what it is. And so the spontaneous desire to reinvent yourself is the latest in a sequence of events that have all said the same thing in different ways, have all demonstrated the same basic truth in different ways, that you are changing, that you are becoming. And part of that is a kind of transformation process, and part of that becoming is an opening into your consciousness, into yourself, where you are becoming aware of what a vast creature you are, how much you contain. In a sense, though it sounds a little hokey, it is as if you contain the universe. But the thing is, that's not so hokey about that, is that your consciousness does contain the universe. As far as you're concerned, there wouldn't be a universe if you were not aware of it from the viewpoint that you have here in a body, on a planet, this planet, now, on this mission, now. And so your awareness is such that it contains the universe. And if we look at that universe, it is told in a kind of a microcosmic style, Pisces style, containing two centaur planets, Chiron and Nessus, which are activating, to put it in somewhat New Age terms, the material of Pisces in a very self-creative way, in a way that wants, inspires you to get to the bottom of what it is that you are feeling, to shine the light into a space that is often very difficult to see into. And they grant a kind of a clairvoyance for the power of healing, a kind of a diagnostic power, a kind of ability to have extraordinarily bold inner vision that I would propose to you isn't afraid of anything. And so should you feel like you need to look inside, and should you feel any glint of hesitation about looking inside, I would remind you that with the extraordinary consciousness granted to you, symbolized by whoever you think of astrology as working, Chiron and Nessus, that you have the ability to hold consciousness on anything that you need to for as long as you need to, and to bring to it healing power, a gift of awareness combined with freedom to move and to think the thoughts that you think. And in addition, there is another dimension of clairvoyance granted by Neptune, who is the very king of clairvoyance and of the ability to penetrate into other layers of consciousness to bring through that which is often very difficult to access, to see, almost like the ability to compose music was suddenly bestowed upon you. This is also joined by Vesta, you might say the goddess of interior spaces, who also burns a fire, who tends a flame. She is the goddess of the flame, the goddess of the hearth. And it is as if Vesta has said, yes, there is an interior hearth that you contain, and you will tend that hearth, and it is dedicated to your healing process. When there is Vesta, and there is Pisces, and there is Nessus, and there is Chiron, any one of those factors can point to a path of a process of sexual healing. And you have many factors that point to that now. We'll come to a couple of more in the closing thoughts of this section. And that you have the inner capacity that you need to heal any part of your life. And as long as you don't get distracted by relationship that takes you out of yourself, which you're kind of exempt from by this eclipse, and if you don't get distracted by over-fixating on external reality, which you've been exempted from by this eclipse that has said, oh, by the way, take a look in there. You're not going to believe this. You're going to love it. There's this cosmos that you contain. And perhaps the most tricky, not distracted by how amazing you are, by the impact that you have on people, by the beauty that you kind of overwhelm them with, you can do anything. The Sun-Uranus thing is a big don't get distracted reminder, because Uranus and Aries, for all of us and for you also, can be a distraction. And the distraction has something to do with glamour, and the glamour of technology, and the glamour of self-concept projected into technology. And that all would make me a whole bunch more nervous were there not these Pisces factors, which make it almost impossible that you would get caught exclusively in externals. It's almost like you can name the most superficial person you can think of, fill in your favorite celebrity you could imagine who is just all surface and no substance, and pretend they're an Aries. Even they would have to succumb to the scale and beauty and allure of their own internal space. So the outside world for you, certainly interesting and exciting and, you know, always rocks in its own way. And you have a lot of, let's just say, social mobility. You have a lot of flexibility to choose who you want. And there is a power that you have that is charisma, basically. And even that doesn't dissuade you from the need to honor and embrace your true inner journey. Very beautiful thing. Last point in this section, the planets in Taurus, your second house, second sign from your sign. So if you're noticing, when I read your sign, for example, Aries, I read surrounding signs, opposite sign, sign right before, sign right after. Think of those as houses. It's a simple method of houses where you use the signs. So it's called whole sign houses. And we start with the sun as the center of the story. That's an Aries in your chart. And then we tell a story looking at planets placed in other places. And in the second place, second house, Taurus, there is the planet that rules Aries, Mars. That is now in Taurus. It spent a lot of time in Aries, energizing you and provoking you and possibly providing a exciting run of events in the outside world. Now that is in Taurus. And Venus, the ruler of Taurus and of your opposite house, is in Taurus. Libra is in Taurus. Venus and Mars are in Taurus. And here, too, we have an example of astrology that's pretty much saying the same thing. Recognize the strength that you have in being grounded and centered in your consciousness, in your body, in your awareness. And if it is that you love to relate to other people, however that might be, on whatever terms that might be, recognize that if you place your consciousness in your body, basically, meaning, by which I mean that which contains your inner consciousness, your, you know, brain, and it's ability to transport you to other dimensions of thought and creativity, all that I consider to be body-centered. You then have enormous freedom. And the message in the most ordinary language of Venus and Mars in Taurus, your second house, is saying, honor what's important to you. Remember that your first relationship is to yourself. Remember that your relationship to yourself contains all other relationships. And if you can do that, you will have enormous freedom to relate to others in an honest, clear-headed way, the way that you choose to relate to them. Very important thing to have. The ability to choose who you relate to and how you relate to them. And the point of grounding, or one of them, I'm going to come to the second one, the beginning of the second section. The point of grounding is your ability to stay physically present and psychologically aware of your surroundings, aware of your body, and aware of the inner space that you contain. And it's as if everything is pointing to this. When I look at the fourth and fifth houses in your chart, we're going to see more of that. It's just going to keep, the theme keeps showing up in that way where I learned as a young astrologer that the chart really starts talking when it starts saying the same thing. We'll just let this emergency vehicle go by. Hope whoever it is okay. A lot of drama in those ambulances going by. It would be so lovely if happy things could also be advertised just as loudly, because there's that bias that society has toward advertising the pain of its participants, but not the joy and the pleasure and the happiness. I would call on you and second the motion for myself to put forth, assert, the happiness that you feel and who you are. And we're going to come to that in the next section, talk about some work-related stuff and your kind of conquer the world thing that you may have going on. I'm going to talk about the implications of Saturn in Sagittarius on your expression of faith and your questioning of teachings that you were given as a child and your determination to really find your own beliefs. All right. With that, I leave you. So happy to do this work. This has become the most relaxing part of my work. Actually read astrology for you, for people. Alrighty. I'll catch you in a digital instant.